It's really a treat, it's really a pleasure, and it's really much, really encouraging to be back with you in New York City, or Brooklyn. New York City to Brooklyn? Both are true. Just to put your mind at ease, I'm not in the middle, because this tape, this podium, whatever it is, won't move. So don't get in your mind. This is not a lecture hall, but it is a lecture hall. This is a ministry hall.
Amen.
And we are here to minister, we hope, Christ into you,
Amen.
And you, Christ into us.
Amen.
Therefore, don't be bothered. Don't be bothered by this. We would like to just launch right into the burden for this weekend. And if you look at your title, it's called A Central Vision. The central vision, or vision, must control us, regulate us, restrict us, and bring us into the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So we hope that you will exercise your spirit to really receive what is embedded in this outline, and not merely in the outline, but also in the verses. I would like to, the general subject, as I just said, is the central vision, and I would like to read the, together, could we read the title for this session?
The heavenly vision and vanquishing conversion of the gospel.
There are several things I want to point out here. Number one, the heavenly vision, and as I said, it should control our conduct, our living, and everything that is related to our life. And then the second thing is vanquishing.
Wow.
I hope that all of us will be vanquished this weekend.
Amen.
Of course, we all are believers here, so not so much in the matter of conversion, but in the matter of seeing and living according to what we see, according to what the Apostle Paul saw. And what he saw was three major things, which we will get into. And number one is, and we'll get into them in the verses, number one is me, corporate me.
Amen.
Then number two is Jesus. And number three is chosen vessels. All of us are chosen vessels. This is the main burden that we will highlight beginning today, beginning this meeting, and then continuing through the weekend. There are a lot of things, and we'll get into that are opposing this vision, and I have 11. And so if you have a pen, I'm going to give them to you now. Actually, they are in Roman numeral 1, but I'm going to give them to you now. These that I'm going to give you are very good. They're commendable. But compared to Christ, they are, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, dumb. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. So they're good, but they're not Christ. Okay, so the number one concept that I want to highlight here is the matter of worshiping God. This is very commendable. However, if we worship God without Christ, then it is a concept that causes the vision to dim in our inward being. So, number one is worshiping God apart from Christ. Number two is living an ethical life. That's very good. We are not barbarians or Scythians. However, being ethical is not Christ. Therefore, it's not part of the heavenly vision. It's not part of the contents of the heavenly vision. And the contents of the heavenly vision is God Himself.
Amen.
And we will see as we proceed. Number three is being religious. Oh, this catches me. I like to be religious. I like to do things according to the scripture, and that's another one. So you can write that down, being scriptural. That's another one. I like to be scriptural. I like to be spiritual. That's another one, being spiritual. We're not here to be according to the word apart from Christ. We're not here to be scriptural apart from Christ. We're not here to be spiritual apart from Christ. We're here to live Christ, who is the contents of God's New Testament economy.
Amen.
And then number, so I gave you spiritual, I gave you scriptural. Then the next one I would like to give you is devotional. I remember that we were, Brother Ricky fellowshiped with us earlier this year, that we should come to the word in a religious way. Now, not in a religious way in that sense that as soon as that I said that word, your mind starts ching, 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 ching. Not in that way, but in a way of routine. Because if you come just day by day, you know, I have to come, then eventually you'll strike water.
Yeah.
You'll get to the Spirit. So just come.
Amen.
In that kind of religious way, in that kind of routine way, in that kind of habitual way.
Yeah.
And but, to be religious apart from Christ, that's not a part of the heavenly vision. Okay, number three, not number three, but whatever number I'm on.
Seven.
Okay, being pious. Being pious, you know, we were, well, anyway, there was a, anyway, being pious, trying to be holy. Praise the Lord, you know, this kind of thing. Okay, the next one is being, having power. A lot of us have this concept that in the Christian life we have to have power. We have to be those who speak in a powerful way. Paul said, I was weak among you.
Yeah.
Paul said, I was weak.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not here seeking power in our speaking eloquence. I'm not very eloquent, but I hope that what is pouring forth right now and through the rest of the time this evening will be Christ.
Amen.
That's the power that we desire.
Amen.
Then the next one is we value miraculous things. I was, before I came into the meeting this way in the Lord's Recovery, I met with those who emphasized a lot of miracles. And they are fascinating. If you see a miracle, I haven't seen one. I mean, in an outward way, like what is emphasized here, and that is, I haven't seen anyone's tooth being filled with gold. Maybe you have. And I'd like to have a miracle. I'd like to have a back pain free, Peter. Pain free. But the Lord hasn't done that yet. Anyway, so I don't look for miracles. Okay. Oh, here's one: serving God. Serving God. We think that what God wants is for us to serve Him, but actually, according to Song of Songs, chapter 1, God wants us to kiss Him.
Amen.
Let Him kiss me. I know for the brothers, I don't know about you, brother, but when the Lord says kiss me, I think, I ain't kissing a man. I have that kind of, that I got to get beyond that. Let Him kiss me.
Amen.
With the kisses of His mouth.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, can you say, oh, Lord, kiss me.
Amen.
It's not that easy. But we have to say that.
Amen.
So we're not here just to serve God in an outward way. We're here to eat the Lord,
amen,
drink the Lord,
yes,
breathe the Lord,
yes,
take the Lord in, and as we eat, drink, and breathe Him and take Him in, that's the real worship that He desires. That's the real service. It's not going to the mission, and I think I have that down here. It's not going to the mission fields, which that's okay. Now, please don't think we're just bashing these things. These are okay. Remember, apart from Christ, then it's vanity. Apart from Christ, I hope that sinks in, it is vanity. Then, is that 11? Or did I get all 11? That's 10. Then I missed one. I missed one. Okay, anyway, it'll come later. That's only 10? Okay, let me go over them. Worshiping God.
Yes.
Being ethical.
Right.
Being religious.
Yes.
Being devotional. And having having a devotional time without Christ.
Right.
Pious.
Right.
Scriptural and spiritual.
Yes, okay, I have this one. I saw the one I missed. Being holy.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
How are you, brother? Fine. Shall we go and let's go down this? Oh, I can't go down that street. There's too many things that'll defile my eyes. Yeah. Anyway, you all know. Do we remember death? We know, right? We remember. We remember. Anyway, so these kind of concepts are things that are in opposition to the heavenly vision. Now, what I would like to do is read the scriptural verses, which are, there are three accounts, so it must be important. There are three accounts of Paul's conversion. In Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. So it must be important. So I think we need to get into it, and I would like to spend a little time here to go through all 19 verses of Acts chapter 9, 1 through 19. Let me include Acts chapter 8, verse 3. It says that Paul was breathing out threatening. Keep that in mind. What he was doing was he was breathing out. In Acts chapter 3, it says he was devastating. I'm sorry. He was devastating the churches. And then, of course, he was breathing out threatenings in chapter 9, verse 1. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, devastating, it means Paul had in his heart to destroy, to demolish the church. So keep that in mind as we begin to read. And if you have Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, please read along. Allow me to read. Okay, this is verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threatening and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked, verse 2, and asked for letters from him to Damascus for the synagogue, so that if he found any who were of the way, both men and women. What kind of guy is this? Okay, so if it's me, I can see him coming after me, but also going after the women. This guy was really an accomplished person. He was accomplished in the Greek culture, the Hebrew religion, and Roman politics. And he studied at the feet of Gamaliel, yet all he wanted to do was breathe out threatening and murder. Such an educated man, this is what he's doing. It's hard for me to fathom. Then it says this, any who were found of the way. I have 6 points that I would like to give you concerning the way. Please write these down. So 11, 6, and then there'll be 4 more later. Number 1 is concerning the way. This is the way of God's full salvation. This is the way of God's full salvation. Number 2. It is the way God dispenses himself through redemption by the Spirit's anointing. Redemption and the Spirit's anointing. Number 3, it is the way that we partake of and enjoy God. And here it is again. This is how we worship God in spirit by enjoying him. That's the real worship. Enjoying the Lord is the real worship. I really like a verse that I'm trying to hold myself back from giving to you, because if I do, I'll get into it. It's really enjoyable. Nehemiah, we enjoyed this Wednesday night. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Well, I think I'm going to give it to you. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, he says, go your way. Go your way. Well, I want to read it so that I get it exact. It says, go your way. And then it says this, eat the fat. You remember? Eat the fat. And Of course, the fat, we all know, according to Leviticus chapter 3, you need to go there, the fat typifies or signifies Christ. So go your way. Go your way. What does that mean? Wherever you are inwardly right now, go from there. Wherever you are you sad? Go from there. Are you depressed? Go from there. Are you tired? Go from there. Is your mind going? Go from there. Did you get hurt? Go from there. Was the traffic horrible? Go from there. Were you complaining? Go from there.
Amen.
Was the meal that you ate tonight, if you ate, was it any good? If it was bad, go from there. Go your way. Go from wherever you are and do what? Eat the fat. Of course, if you eat the fat, you'll go from there. Then it says this, drink the sweet wine. Aha, drink the sweet wine. That sweet wine, according to, I'll just use one verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, is Christ. Amen. It's the drink offering, it's Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, it's the drink offering. So go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and then do this. After you eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, give portions to those. To whom nothing has been prepared. That means what? Dear saints, we're here to give the fat and the wine to all those who are not enjoying as we enjoy this wonderful person.
Amen.
That's what we're doing. Then it says this, go your way, eat the fat, give portion then. And then it says, do not be grieved. I missed a portion. Anyway, do not be grieved. Then it says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Go your way. Eat the fat.
Amen.
Drink the sweet wine.
Amen.
Send portions to them. Do not be grieved. Oh, and for today is holy. That's the portion I missed. For today is holy to the Lord. How? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So we're here to enjoy, render the real worship by enjoying the Lord. Okay, number four is this. Following the persecuted Jesus by being one with him. This is part of the way. Following the persecuted Jesus by being one with him. Then number five is to be brought into the church to build up the body of Christ to bear the testimony of Jesus. To build up the church as the body of Christ to bear the testimony of Jesus. And then finally, number six, the way is this. It's the truth. It's the reality of the contents of the New Testament. This is all signified or embodied in this word for any of those who were of the way. Then it says, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. I'll continue the reading. And as he went, he drew near to Damascus. And suddenly a light, this is a heavenly light with a heavenly voice from the heavenly one. But I did with one of the brothers last week, I did a little calculation. And from Jerusalem to Damascus is about somewhere around 137 miles. And they didn't have BMWs in those days. They didn't have 737s. They didn't have anything. So their mode of transportation to traverse that distance probably took a while. More than likely he was on a horse. Yeah. So 137 miles. So how long would that take? 8, maybe 10 hours or so. So don't you think that the ones that were in Damascus, they heard that this one was coming? Don't you think they were like, oh no, what are we going to do? Don't you think they were nervous? Don't you think they were afraid in Damascus? Because word travels. And then one of the brothers among us, a senior co-worker among us, said this, probably Paul was excited. It was something like this, aha, I get to go to Damascus. Because the chief priests, they gave me license. And I'm going to go there and bind all these ones who call on the Lord. I know how to identify them. They are the ones who call on the Lord. So he's probably excited. So he's going. Okay. Then it says, as he drew near. Why did the Lord wait until he drew near to Damascus? Why didn't the Lord, knock him down? Soon as he left Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Didn't the Lord see that? Didn't the Lord know where he was going and what he was going to do? But he says, it says here, I don't know if you picked this up, as he drew near to Damascus. Dear saints, when you really need the Lord, it seems like the Lord waits.
Yeah.
And things get worse. And you get scared. You know, I like to use it this way. You get scareder. Forgive me for that poor English. Anyway, you're even more afraid. Lord! And they were calling, Lord! The Lord didn't do anything. Lord! He didn't do anything. And then just as he draws near to Damascus, the Lord knocks him down. Interesting, don't you think? Very interesting. Anyway, I'll continue. And suddenly a heavenly light, I added heavenly, because it says from heaven, flashed around him. And he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, now this is the first big point. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the believers?
No.
That's not what it says?
No.
No. It says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is huge, you all. And when we get into the outline, you'll see a lot more. So I'll keep going. And he said, and I don't know why he said this, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. So that's the second. Me and Jesus. Whom you persecute. I'm persecuting these people on earth. I had nothing to do with you. These people are blasphemers, and I'm gonna persecute them. You're persecuting me. This is a huge revelation. This is the central revelation. This is the heavenly vision. Dear saints, we really have to see. When we look around here, we need to see that we are, in reality, the body of Christ. If we're the body of Christ, then we are Christ.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, well, we'll come to that. We'll show us. So this is a great corporate me.
That's right.
Christ and his believers. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Then he says, but rise. Have you noticed that? But rise. Why didn't the Lord say, Paul, what are you doing? If it were me, I'd say, what are you doing to my people? But he didn't say that. The Lord didn't say, he said, but rise. It was like, I don't know what it's like. It just struck me. He says, but rise. He didn't even say anything about what Paul was doing, what he had done. You know, if it were me, I would have said, Paul, you've been persecuting my believers. You've been breathing out threatenings and murders. But he didn't. But rise and enter into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. This is critical, you all, because Paul needed to be brought into identification with the body of Christ through a little member. So never despise one another. Never despise members whom we think are less than us. There's no members less than us. We are less than the least of all saints. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. And Saul rose from the ground and threw his eye, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. This is a blessed blindness. I hope that all of us will say, Lord, open my eyes. Don't think even right now we all see everything that there needs to be seen, and then the Lord can come back, because the Lord is not back, and so that means we need to see more, but even the more, we need to experience what we have seen.
Amen.
That is a huge point. So this is a blessed blindness. His eyes were open. So many eyes are open, but they don't see anything. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days. And he neither ate nor drank. And so he probably was praying, we'll see that. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I hope we often say, behold. The Lord says, Ricky, Ricky, here I am.
Right.
Scott,
behold.
Amen. Dennis,
I'm here.
Joel,
behold.
Here I am.
Right.
Here I am. Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise up and go to the land called Straight and seek in the house of Judas. And this is why I say Paul is praying. A man from Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And while he was praying, my goodness, what do you think he was praying about? I persecuted these people. You say I'm persecuting you. Lord, Jesus, Jehovah. Jehovah became a man. That's you. Whoa. And this man lived on the earth. You lived on the earth. And then you died. Don't you think he was praying about all the contents of God's New Testament economy, what the Lord went through, what he passed through to become the Spirit to enter in? Surely this is what Paul was praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he may receive his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard. See, Ananias was still skeptical. I have heard from many concerning this man how many evil things he has done to your servants in Jerusalem. That's why I said, when I go back to verse 6, it says, but rise. But look at all the evil things he did, and the Lord didn't say anything about it. He says, but the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a, this is number 3, a chosen vessel to me to bear my name before both the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer on behalf of my name. And Ananias went away and entered into the house and laid his hands on him. This is identification into the body of Christ. He said, Saul, brother. And then he says this, the Lord. I don't know if you noticed this. The Lord has sent me Jesus. Amen. The Lord has sent me Jesus. That means Jesus is God, who appeared to you on the road on which you were coming, so that you may receive your sight and be filled outwardly with the Holy Spirit, because he was filled inwardly when he said, who are you, Lord? And immediately, when he was brought into identification with the body, then it says, and there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight and rose up and was baptized. And once he had taken food, he was strengthened, and he was with the disciples in Damascus for some days. Light, when he was brought into identification with the body, then the scales fell off his eyes, something like scales. Dear saints, where is light? We can get light. We can see this vision partially, obscurely, by ourselves. But it becomes so clear when we are properly attached to the body and we are functioning members to build up the body. As we function, the vision becomes clear. Scale after scale will fall off of our eyes. Now, I would like to go on to, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. The heavenly vision. Okay.
This vision must be renewed in us day by day.
Not concepts, but heavenly vision. Don't be controlled by the concepts, but by the heavenly vision, and it must be renewed day by day. That's why Ephesians chapter 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, may give to you. That's daily, not just one time, in the full knowledge of him. Letter A says, the vision of the age will keep us. I like that. The vision of the age will keep us living in God's presence. And I'm going to quote Isaiah a little bit. This vision will uphold us, control us, and become our divine commission to meet the need of this age. Here in the scriptural reference, you have Jeremiah. And Jeremiah means this. He will exalt and he will bring or tear down. God tears us down to build us up. So in all of our circumstances, in all of our situation, don't complain, don't moan, don't cry, don't worry. God is tearing us down with the purpose of building us up. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, it says, see, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to tear down. Now listen to this, to build up and to plant. I don't know about you, dear saints. This is very, very encouraging to me.
Right.
Isaiah was discouraged because the good king Uzziah died. And he was very discouraged. But the vision upheld him.
Amen.
And if you're ever discouraged, if you don't have this heavenly vision renewed day by day, then your discouragement will keep bringing you down. But if you see it, if you see this heavenly vision, or see part of it, or just a little of it, you will be upheld in your depression as Isaiah was. This vision is too crucial. Okay, let's go on to letter B. Letter B. When we see a vision of God's plan and have been converted from everything to Christ himself, he will be the inner operating God to us, energizing us to carry out his plan. And here in the scripture reference, you have Galatians 1:15, and it says, when it pleased God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, it pleases the Lord to reveal Christ to you.
Amen.
To us. It pleases him. But how can we see this Christ? Okay, I have four points. Okay, how can we have, write this down, how can we have a subjective revelation of the Son of God? How can we have a subjective revelation of the Son of God? Number one, we have to turn our heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Turn your heart to the Lord. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16, chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Number two is pay attention to your spirit.
Right.
Pay attention to your spirit. The reality in the universe is located in your spirit.
Amen.
So we must pay attention if we want to have this controlling vision, this heavenly vision, the central vision. Number three, read and pray. Pray and read the word, and I gave you the example of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Pray it that way. Go your way. Huh? Eat the fat. What? Drink the sweet, you know. Pray it that way with much feeling and much spirit and much endeavoring to enter into it. Don't just pray it like this. Go your way. Amen. Eat the fat. Amen. Drink the sweet wine. Amen. Man, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, it's sin portion. Ah, yeah, okay. Amen, sin portion. Okay, sin portion. Amen, sin portion. Don't pray the word like that. Pray it prayerfully back to the Lord. And then ask questions. Eat the fat. Lord, who's the fat? What's the fat? I don't like fat. It's unhealthy. This fat is very healthy. And the last one is this. Drop your concepts, eat that tree.
Amen.
Drop your concepts. I gave you 11. Drop them. Those things are good. They're commendable, but drop them. They're not Christ. Paul did that in Philippians chapter 3, which is a book on the experience of Christ. Paul did that. He dropped it. And because of that, he got the excelling revelation concerning this person. And he realized all those other things are good, but they're not Christ. Letter C, eventually, let's read that together. Okay, let's read it together and try to use your mingled spirit, okay? Try, you try, go. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but thanks be to God, who always, 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 you need to, if you know, well, in your Bible, underline always, not sometimes, not partially, always, always leads us in triumph in the Christ to do something. What? To manifest the savor of the knowledge of himself through us in every place. He's I have to keep going. I might come back. Maybe not. Okay, Roman numeral 2. While Saul of Tarsus was on the way to Damascus, a heavenly vision came to him, and this vision revolutionized him. And then I already, the verse references we already talked about. And we mentioned that this vision will revolutionize us if we turn our heart. Turn your heart. Don't harbor any offenses. Don't offend any, try your best not to offend anyone. If you're like me, you're going to always offend. Seek forgiveness. If it doesn't come, if someone doesn't forgive you when you offend them, it's okay. It's really okay. Just turn your heart.
Amen.
Drop your concepts.
Amen.
Pay attention to your spirit.
Amen.
And devour the word of God. Letter A, after he saw the vision, he became blind. This is a blessed, unable to see anything and impotent. None of us, I think, like to be impotent, but anyway, unable to do anything. We like to do things. Our natural strength is a big hindrance to the apprehension of the vision. Unable to do anything. Paul was very, that's why I said gave a little of his qualifications in the beginning. He was very, very strong. He was very, his character was the top. His zeal was the best. But the vision blinded him, caused him to be impotent, unable to do anything. It's a blessed blindness. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a blessed blindness. No, praise the Lord?
Amen.
It's a blessed blindness. It comes upon those who are met by the heavenly vision. After this blindness comes upon us, number one, there will be an inner anointing. After it comes, inner anointing. And the inner shining and the inner enlightening, we who were once God's enemies will be brought into, praise the Lord, the feast of the New Testament ministry to be saved in Christ's life. Let's read number two together. I would just like to say this. I can see this. This vision will control us to do everything by the Spirit. No problem. This vision will control us to do everything in our spirit. No problem. But in the body, through the body?
Yeah.
That means you're going to be limited.
Yeah.
Anyway, we fellowship here. And so out of the fellowship, it came upon us. Some were unable to make it. And so they said, okay, Willie, you'll do the... It was first decided, and I thought, this is okay, that Brother Joel and I, we'll split this. And then Ricky says, Dennis got hurt. Dennis is hurt. So you do the whole message. I said, oh, really? I said, now, that's not what we fellowship. I mean, I didn't say that, but that was what I was thinking. I said, okay. So I go to Joel. I said, Joel, you're going to do another message. He goes, really? I said, yeah. Yeah. I can do everything in the spirit, I think. I can do everything, in our spirit, I think. But in the body? Are you limited by the body? Are you restricted by the body? You say, yeah, I don't think so. Letter B. I just leave that hanging. Letter B. For 3 days, Saul did not see anything. He did not eat or drink anything. And I already mentioned this. All he could do was pray.
Amen.
Dear saints, pray.
Amen.
Pray for this time.
Amen.
It says all he could do. He didn't do this. He didn't, let's do it. We need to do this. Yeah, we got to go here. We got to do this. No. All he could do was pray.
Amen.
Under the inspiration, number one, of the essential spirit, his only interest was to pray in order to know the significance of what he had seen and heard.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is
So he prayed, and like I already mentioned, oh, God, he's triune. He has to be triune. Because Jesus said, you're persecuting me. And I said, you're the Lord. And he says, I'm Jesus. Wait a minute. So, you know, if it were me, I'd scratch my head. So he saw vision after vision, especially, and we'll get down to it in Roman numeral 3, concerning the body of Christ. Amen. Number 2, it's likely that as Saul was praying, vision after vision and revelation after revelation came to him concerning Christ as the embodiment of God, the mystery of God, and the church as the body of Christ, the mystery of Christ. I won't say anything here because we'll pick it up later in Roman numeral 7. Let's read three together. Go.
Each crucial point of Paul's vision, recorded in Acts 9, should not be merely a teaching to us, but a vision that we see on the heavenly television.
I hope this weekend there'll be vision after vision, revelation after revelation. I hope there'll be a heavenly TV playing. You know, it's far better than any TV show.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to. Letter C, in our reading of Acts 9, we need to see the heavenly vision concerning three items, which I mentioned: me, Jesus, and the chosen vessel. Roman numeral 3. So this is the verse. Let's read it together. Go.
Saul, why are you persecuting me?
In John 14:20. There is the matter of the incorporation. I and you, you and me, and they and us. And this is what comprises the me, or I could add this, the corporate me. The corporate me, now, this may sound like heresy, so please exercise your spirit, but you know, because it's not. But the oneness of the body of Christ, listen, is the enlargement of the oneness of the divine Trinity. Do you believe that? Oh, only a few? Only Kathy? Kathy and one or two others? The oneness of the body of Christ, I'll say it again, is the enlargement of the oneness of the divine Trinity.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 is clear. One Lord, one faith, you know, and so forth. One baptism. One body, right?
Yeah.
And one God and Father who's over all, through all, and in all.
Yeah.
So our oneness, consider, our oneness is absolutely related to the divine Trinity. The more we take in the Trinity, or God, the triune God, or the divine Trinity, the more we take in it, the more oneness we have in the body of Christ.
Amen.
The reason there are so many separations is because there's not the actual daily taking in of the divine Trinity. If there were more, then that would be, if there were more intake of the divine Trinity, less division.
Amen.
Less division equals the Lord's return.
Amen.
Letter A, this is the corporate meat comprising Jesus the Lord, and all his believers. He is the head, and we are the body, as one person, one new man.
Amen.
On the road to Damascus, Paul saw the one new man. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10, he talks about a masterpiece. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, he talks about one new man. And in Ephesians chapter, I wrote it down, chapter verse 16, he talks about this one new man was created. In chapter 10 and chapter 15, chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 10, and chapter 2, verse 15, he talks about created, and he talks about one new man, and then he says, this is the masterpiece.
Amen.
This is the masterpiece.
Amen.
Consider, as I'm driving around here in New York, I've never seen so many different ethnos. Consider what it would be, what a glory it would be to the Lord if all the ethnos here in New York were one. My, what a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Then the Lord could say, see, Satan, this is my poem. This is my masterpiece. All these ones that you divided, and you did a good job in Genesis chapter 11. You divided all these people, but look what I did. I brought them all together.
Amen.
Look how symphonic this looks. And not looks, sound. And looks. My goodness. This is the corporate me. Let it be. Saul, who is also Paul, began to see that the Lord Jesus and his believers are one great person, a wonderful me. To him, this was a unique revelation in the entire universe. Let us see. Paul is the only writer of the New Testament to use the term the body of Christ. He placed great emphasis on the body because at the time of his conversion, he heard a message concerning the corporate me, a message concerning the body of Christ. I will just give you the books. Romans talks about the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 12, talks about the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the body of Christ. And Colossians chapter 2. I don't have time to do the verses. But Paul wrote 14 epistles. He's the only one to use this term, the body of Christ. And this was absolutely related to his experience on the road to Damascus. Letter D. Immediately after Saul was saved, the Lord began to educate him concerning the body of Christ. Those who see that they are members of the body treasure the body and honor the members. Dear saints, as you sit there, do you treasure your portion, your measure? And do you treasure the measure of every other member? God has placed all of us in the body as it pleases him.
Amen.
Roman number 4. Let's read that because that's the verse. Go.
Who are you?
This, who are you, is the content. I am Jesus. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. That's the content of God's New Testament economy. That's the content to fill the chosen vessel and us also. We are also chosen vessels. Letter A. The Lord here equals, and this is what I said, the name Jehovah in Hebrew. That's why I said Jesus is God. But letter B. The name Jesus embodies the full message of the gospel. Paul saw that Jesus is Jehovah the Savior, and that as the one who is now in the heavens, he has passed through the process of incarnation, human living, death, resurrection, and ascension for something. The producing and building up of the body of Christ. Paul saw, let us see, that Jesus is the very God, Jehovah, who has been processed and consummated with the divine and human elements to be the ascended Lord, the head of the body and the life-giving spirit, the spirit of Jesus, to be dispensed into all his members. Now, let's all read letter D. Amen.
And we are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
He saw that the God's plan is both to reveal Christ in us as life, so that we may live Christ, and to put us into Christ, so that we may be conformed to his image and built up with others to be his living body for his corporate expression.
Amen. And the matter of the content is revealed in these verses in Galatians chapter 2, chapter 4, Romans chapter 8. This is not the content, but we are vessels. No, the content, sorry. Romans chapter 8, chapter 12, Ephesians 1, and Ephesians 3. Yeah. When it pleased God to reveal the Son in me. Okay. Well, that's the... Yeah, that's right. I don't remember. Okay. Now, let's read Roman number 5. This is the verse again in Acts chapter 9. Go.
This man is a chosen vessel to me.
I like to coin a phrase that Scott uses all the time. This is Scott's phrase. We're God bottles. We're God bottles. We're not here, we're not here to serve God, fear God, worship God in that kind of way. We're here to contain God. We were created as vessels to contain the divine content.
Amen.
So it says here, God's intention in letter A is in saving Saul of Tarsus was to fill him with himself and thereby make him and us. I add us, because we're part of the body of Christ. To make him and us, I added that, an outstanding vessel. I'm looking at all of you. Don't look at your failures, your wrongdoings, your defects, or any peculiarities that you may have. I'm very peculiar. Don't look at that. We are outstanding vessels. Focus on the divine treasure, 2 Corinthians chapter 4,
Amen.
Verses 6 and 7.
Amen.
Paul's writings, letter B, developed the spiritual significance of the word vessel. Paul saw that the man is a tripartite vessel to contain and be filled with Christ. Filled with Christ's life for the building up of the body of Christ. And then these verses are on the vessel. The previous verses are on the body that I mentioned earlier, Galatians and so forth. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's move on. I want to mention 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's the last part of verse 7, the first part of verse 7. And the treasure indicates this. We have this treasure indicates God's presence and God's face. Focus on his face. His face is the unique treasure in the universe, and that face will carry us through everything. It will carry us through all of our hardships and so forth, our sufferings, our difficult environments. It will carry us through the wonderful times, because we need to be carried through the wonderful times as well.
Amen.
We don't live a life of, and boom. Everything's wonderful, everything's horrible. No, we need to be carried through here. We need to keep sailing this way. And when we're down here, we need to sail this way. Now, I understand Christian life, da, 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 but it's not. It's not like that. It's, less like that. So keep your eyes on the face.
Amen.
On his presence. I really want to say this about Jeremiah 48:11. It says, this is Jeremiah 40. Moab has been at his ease from his youth, and he is settled on his lees, and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. He hasn't gone in exile. Listen to this. Therefore, his taste remains in him. His scent is not changed. If we haven't been empty of what we are in Adam, our scent, our taste remains. That's whatever taste that is. And we all have a different taste. And every taste that we have apart from Christ is not for and a part of the body of Christ. It needs to be empty. That means that what? We need to present ourselves to the emptying day by day.
Amen.
He needs to empty us from vessel to vessel, from vessel to vessel, so that what? Our scent changes to be the sweet aroma of Christ.
Amen.
And our taste. When we taste one another, when we touch one another, do we touch the sweetness that is in Christ? Yes, I say yes. Yes, we will. The body of Christ is God's great corporate vessel to contain him and be filled with him for his expression. Let us see. As God's chosen vessel, Paul was converted. See, he was vessel to vessel. He was empty. He was converted from everything. He was empty from everything to Christ himself. He was converted to call on his name, to suffer on behalf of his name, and to bear his name before both the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Okay. Big point. Roman numeral 6. Let's read that together.
The central vision of the Apostle Paul's completing ministry is God in us as our foundation, the Christ as the mystery of God.
Okay. I will help you. The central vision of the Apostle Paul's completing ministry is God in us.
Amen.
This is the central vision. As our contents, that's the vessel.
Amen.
That's the word vessel, chosen vessel. Then what? Christ as the mystery of God, that's Jesus.
Amen.
And the church as the mystery of Christ, that's me. Not me, but me here. And this will be developed as we go through this weekend. So I won't spend more time there. But this is crucial. But letter A. Paul's preaching in Acts and his writing in his epistles are a detailed description of the heavenly vision. That's all he wrote about, the heavenly vision seen by him.
Amen.
Let's read B together.
The Lord appeared to Paul.
In all the visions, let us see that Paul saw, he saw Christ. The things in which we have seen Christ and the things in which he will appear to us are the things that these are the things that we must minister. Mm-hmm. Dear saints, do not minister anything else. Do not minister the law. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Do not minister the law.
Amen.
Do not minister your standard.
Yes.
Minister the things that you have seen and heard of Christ.
Amen.
This is what Paul ministered. Anyway, I gotta keep going. I have a. Okay. Okay, Roman numeral 7, last Roman numeral. The Lord's recovery today is the recovery of the central. What are we doing here, dear saints and everyone? What are we doing here? We are recovering the central vision of Paul's completing ministry. Please read Colossians 1:25, which I will not do. Letter A. Paul says that he was commissioned. Now, this is probably hard to understand. Paul says that he was commissioned to complete the Word of God. What do you mean? This means to complete the revelation of God. Without Paul's writings, the revelation of God is not complete. The Lord Jesus did say in Matthew 20, this is my body. He did say that. But concerning the body of Christ, as the masterpiece of God, as the one new man, as the bride of Christ, well, the Lord, you know, John did say in chapter 3, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. I understand that. But Paul really took this to a higher level when he talks about the body. He probably was laying down when he slept. He'd go, the body of Christ. Oh, the body of Christ. Oh, the body of Christ. Oh, he probably did that. He probably just consumed it. We must remember that this completion, the central vision, this is letter B, comprises three items. Number one, God today is in us to be our contents. Paul saw this at his conversion. He saw these three. Number two, the mystery of God is Christ and the embodiment and manifestation of God. The mystery of God is Christ as the embodiment and manifestation of God, making God so real and enjoyable to us. Number three, the mystery of Christ is what? The triune God, through death, in his resurrection, is mingling himself with us, making us the living members of his organic body. Let's read C and D together. Go.
This vision must correct us.
Please underline that whole statement. It will direct us. It will control us. It will restrict us. It will regulate us.
Amen.
It will keep us where? In the central lane.
Amen.
Okay, letter D.
We need some faithful ones to rise up and say, Lord, here I am. Show me the central vision as you did with the Apostle Paul.
Lord, I hope we all say that this weekend. Lord, here I am. May the scales fall off my eyes.
Amen.
Show me, as you did the Apostle Paul, the central vision.
Amen.
The heavenly revelation.
Amen.
From the heavenly one.
Amen.
I want to see.
Amen.
Don't think that you see.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that because, you know, you see a lot. You see a lot. But if we all saw what Paul saw, don't you think the Lord would be back?
Amen.
Don't you think there would be a reality of the body of Christ?
Amen.
If we all saw what Paul saw?
Amen.
So we need to pray this.
Amen.
Peter, we need to pray this.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
Here I am.
Amen.
This sounds like Isaiah chapter 6. Show me.
Amen.
So we, you know, Isaiah Old Testament, we're in the New Testament. Lord, here I am.
Amen.
You know, you can say send me also, but show me.
Amen.
The The central vision as you did with the Apostle Paul. Okay. We wanted to do our best to try to keep the time. So Brother Ivanhoe can come. Where are you, Ivanhoe? Oh. Where you? Okay, anyway, he will direct us as to what we will do next. We will divide into our groups. There's a lot I left out here. So please have a time of fellowship in your groups. And make sure you take care of every member functioning.
Amen.
Don't be like me. Don't dominate. Of course, this is my function right now, but you know, when you get into small groups, give everyone an opportunity
Amen.
To see, to speak. And the more you speak, the more you'll see.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So our brother Ivanhoe will come now.
Amen. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Get all tangled in this.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. So we want to see a vision,
Amen.
Right? And as Brother Willie mentioned, part of that vision is to see what the Lord is doing, which is building his body.
Right.
And according to 1 Corinthians 14, the body is built through the speaking of all the members.
Amen.
Not just one member, all the members.
Amen.
So to that end, we have a number of classrooms that we will use for breakout groups. Now, the groups should be of about 8 or 9. Maybe some would have more, some would have less, because everyone that's registered is not here yet. So on your badge, there is a group number. So we will begin with group 1 and so on all the way to group 16. Now, the distribution is a little bit, you will exercise a little, but I think it'll work. So group 1 will be just outside these doors. There are some orange couches. So group 1 will gather there. Group 2, 3, and 4 will be in room 135, which is just on down the hallway. Amen. And we will dismiss groups 1, 2, 3, and 4 now. And we, as you exit the room, so that we don't have too many people moving around. Amen. Okay, so please hold. My apologies. Please hold. We're not dismissed yet. So there are a number of announcements that we have concerning tomorrow. For tomorrow, we are going to be in Roosevelt Hall, which is just across Bedford Avenue. Bedford Avenue runs through the campus. So directly across from this building is Roosevelt. We're going to be in the gym. Roosevelt, the room number is RA-200. Robert Apple 200. And we will be there in the morning. We will begin at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. For a message as well as group time as well. We will have our group time distribution. It'll be a little different from today. The afternoon is open, and we will have some maps of food, eateries, and activities in the area for those of you who want to do that, or if you want, you can go rest. We will be providing a pizza dinner, because we're in New York. We will provide a pizza dinner starting at 5:30 p.m. So come back here at 5:30 p.m., and the ushers will direct you to the room where the pizza is going to be, and then you'll be free to have more fellowship and mingle with all the saints. We will begin the third message will begin at 7:30 p.m., and we will be back in this room. And then on the Lord's Day, We will begin at 9:30 with the with our breaking of bread meeting or table meeting, and we will have our final message. So all the meetings of the conference are here except for Saturday morning. On Saturday morning, which is tomorrow morning, we will be at RA 200. That is the Roosevelt Hall, which is across Bedford Avenue. If you have any questions, you can see any of the ushers or the registration desk, and we can give you additional information. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So groups 1, 2, 3, and 4. Group 1 will be on the orange couches. 2, 3, and 4 will be in room 135. 2, 3, and 4 will be in room 135, which is down the hall. As you exit the lecture hall, make a left through the double doors, and 135 will be on your right. That's groups 2, 3, and 4. The others, as they are being dismissed, I will go get my notes and I'll let you know where to go. So groups 1 through 4 can go now.